It is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, politics, and he brings many years of experience to these subjects and more. And he joins us on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Marshall.
And
how's everybody doing?
Good. How are you today?
Well, I'm really up and about, and I'm still swinging.
That's it. Now I've got some questions for you, and the first thing I want to touch with you is dealing with the Fed. It now appears the Fed is going to go deeper in the pockets and raise interest by 0.75 this time.
That's the talk. Yes.
Is this unprecedented, or is this size, or is this in the norm?
No, it's not unprecedented. In the 1980 period, when Paul Volcker was around, and inflation was rampant, he basically brought the bond market and the markets generally to their knees by raising rates dramatically, like we were in the teens. The Fed was raising rates to the teens rather than the onesies and twosies. So the market has discounted to a degree of a big Fed increase. 2-year U.S. government bond yields about a 3.32, which is literally up several hundred basis points, more yield than, call it, 6-8 months ago. And no, it's not unprecedented. But the thing is, everything nowadays, with all of the situations, the problematic things we have going on in the world, things take on their own dramatic impression upon our mindsets. So I'm not dismissing this, but the point is, apparently, Mr. Biden is looking to calm inflation as quickly as he can before the elections in November, and it's a very difficult thing for him and others in government, because on the one hand, we are creating, we're spending an incredible amount of money to help Ukraine basically maintain its sovereignty, and also fighting for democracy, our democracy, as well as all democracies throughout the world. And the net result is we basically put sanctions on Russian oil, and they are a big producer of oil, particularly for consumption in Europe. And those sanctions also created shortages in terms of goods being transported around the world. So both of those things created this inflation that we now see. How long it lasts, if Ukraine suddenly, the Ukraine situation suddenly stabilized, that would be the beginning. Now, it's very important to note, in terms of your investing, that it seems like every other day something comes out that is difficult for those who are invested. There is a chance that the world, maybe not our country as much, but the world might undergo problems with getting enough food, namely wheat and things like that, because Ukraine produces so much of it. And the Russians are basically trying to, I'm not saying they are, but they'll basically be starving X amount of the world in terms of wheat and other grains if indeed they continue to occupy places in Ukraine where the grain is exported around the world. So our problems are many now, and they are reflected in the inflation number. I must point out, however, inflation general numbers up 8%. Wages are up. Wages are up 5%. What does that mean? It means that the wages have kind of not been, they've been catching up, not because of anything particular, but because the economy actually, underneath it all, has been experiencing some decent growth. Now, the Fed's actions might hamper that, at least in the short term. But by the same token, the federal government seems very open to doing things to help us to get through to this. If you just recall and enumerate all of the monies we've spent in our own country in terms of helping people who are out of work or had problems, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, we've put a tremendous amount of money from the federal government into the economy. And that's part of the inflationary problem. During what we saw as a real possible economic downturn of significance, the government basically fed people out of work, not fed, but basically supported people out of work or in difficulty, be they individuals or corporations, by doing a lot of easing of monies. So I don't mean to trivialize this thing, but the point is, what we see is the government helped create the inflation we have, but it was done to help this country survive the pandemic and the result of the pandemic and the crises throughout the world. So this is a price we must pay. As I said, I don't know when I said it because so many things have happened, but this is the price we must pay to basically avoid a depression, which was where we were at. We were on the 27th floor, so to speak, of a depression, because things were stopping when this pandemic started. People were out of work. People didn't want to work. So I think now, as we're looking at this, we must understand that this happened because of the crises. Firstly, from the pandemic, and then from the world crisis of trying to maintain our democracy. So when does it stop? Well, if the Fed gets too aggressive, it might stop sooner than later, and we might not be pleased with the result.
All right. Now, taking a look at that, I guess it's tied in with business, but it's a little depressing, and I think that President Biden is making a mistake. He's visiting Israel, which is fine, but he's visiting Saudi Arabia. Now, he's trying to engage Saudi Arabia. He called them a pariah, and he was right by that. This country just can't seem to shake itself from its affiliation with Saudi Arabia.
I have to tell you, I don't have the words to describe how disgusted I am with our president visiting a country that is headed by a man who has murdered his relatives on his way to the top of the Saudi government, who murdered one of our citizens. Biden has ways of straightening out this oil problem to some degree that he's not even thought of, I guess. One would be, as John F. Kennedy did in the 60s, he basically told the steel companies when they were going to raise prices, he said simply to them, you raise prices, you will not be doing business with the U.S. government. Now, of course, those interests who have their own self at heart basically have been steadily eroding our government with donations to politicians who make key decisions in terms of many, many things helpful to corporations. It's time for Biden to basically get out the big stick and do it publicly, do it privately, wherever you want, and say, look, you folks are now going to give us oil, and you're going to stop gouging the price of oil as it shows up at the pump. There's all kinds of oil all over the world, but it is controlled in various factions by people who know how to take advantage of problems. And Biden, too many visits to too many places in too short a time. He's got to sit in his office with his people and say, how are we going to do this? Price controls is one way to do it. You know, just simply tell everybody, this is the price, end of story. Be it oil or fossil fuels that are used in plants. And then, of course, the Republicans will talk about, what are we, a socialist country and so forth and so on. Well, if you haven't noticed, folks, particularly if you get some kind of Social Security or health care or whatever, if that's socialism, send it in. But the point is, Biden is not aggressive in the right areas. I have to tell you, let me step back for a minute. I'm very, 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 very disappointed that Biden, who ran for president and called the Saudi and the prince and his government all kinds of things, now he's trying to deal with this guy. It's very simple. Make a phone call. I'll screw you nine ways Sunday if you don't cooperate in terms of this oil crisis we're having. And the hammer that he has is very simple. You don't give us more oil. You don't help us out. I'm canceling all of the military equipment contract we have with you. We just carte blanche. You know, you're a sand country, okay? You happen to be on a lot of oil. You don't have much else to offer. So what I'll tell you is all contracts are off. And in terms of your local fights, fine. You try and get the parts for the armaments and other things we've sent you over the years. In terms of Israel, not quite the same situation, but the same situation is, what in the name of good God are you doing going abroad when you have this terrorism problem in this country with these white supremacists? Stay home, mister, and take care of business. Stop going out with Jill, your wife, who's a wonderful woman, and spending days and days away from your desk. Get back to your desk. If you get back to your desk and you do the right things, it will help you, the Democrats, in the November election. But if you continue to walk and talk that slow drawl or pace or whatever, you won't help yourself in the November primaries. But more importantly, you're not helping our country. We need decisive action, and we don't need people downplaying inflation. It is what it is. And the point is, the Democratic Party, they don't seem to have a big voice in terms of telling the American people how much we've come through and how much the government has helped us. I'm not talking about ratings being low. I'm talking about people wondering what in the name of God is going on. The president, and I voted for him, and I support him. And I will support him through all of the crises that he's going through and will go through. Because he's basically a very, very, very good person. A very, very good person who cares for country. But he has to just sit down and work these things out. And as I said earlier, my first president, John Kennedy, he told the steel companies, this is it. You do what I tell you or you're out. And Biden's got to talk that way to various and sundry constituents. Corporate America has overtaken our democracy. I guess you may or may not notice that.
Well, notice it when the news comes out that ExxonMobil and other energy providers are all having record quarters. All having record quarters.
It's disgusting in terms of the tremendous increases. Incredible. Incredible. But the thing is, they're gouging. Okay, fine. Let's give the economy X amount of oil. We got to stop it, okay? Price control, I don't care how you do it, but stop it. And I think somehow I'm always somewhat of an optimist. The thing is, we have the tools to do this. And be it jawboning, just talking to people on the phone, the big hitters and the industry, having a private meeting for them. But the point is just going on television and saying, oh, that doesn't solve anything. We don't need to hear Mr. Biden on television anymore. We need action. And hopefully that action will come sooner than later.
Now,
talking about action, I need to get to this because I've got to get it out of my skull. The thing with this gun control is deplorable. Absolutely deplorable. And I'll give you the following turn. 15 years ago, wasn't a long time ago, in Australia, they had a massive amount of shooting of citizens. Disgusting. The Aussie government said, fine, enough already. We're banning all guns. You know what? They did it. You know why? Because people saw innocent people just arbitrarily being killed. We just saw 19 little people slaughtered in Texas. Prior to that, 10 adults slaughtered in Buffalo, New York. Where is the spine? Where is the integrity? Where is the charity in these Republican senators to get guns banned, which are destructive, are only built for military? The gun that these people used decimated the bodies of these little people. And part of this thought comes from John Mellencamp, who many of you know as a great entertainer, who I saw interviewed last night, and he brought up the Australian thing. And he brought up the fact that time to get some guts. The Democrats need some spine. You know, what's been written or the framework of the gun control thing, it's pathetic. The weak of the water. All kinds of, you put down seven things on a piece of paper, it doesn't solve the problem. You need one thing, banned assault weapons. So if the Democrats want to maybe do something very positive for the country, namely to keep more and more people alive, they've got to somehow, doesn't matter if they get it done or not. as they go into the election in November, instead of playing nice with the Republicans and doing this paltry legislation, they should step up to the plate and tell it as it is. The Republicans, who take all kinds of money from the gun industry, they have blood on their hands, and that should be the aggressive. The other thing that Mellencamp brought up, which was brought to our attention when the person who had to try and identify those little children that were killed in Texas, let's, with the permission of parents, begin starting to show some of these bodies that were so decimated. Now, you might say, don't say that. We have to get real, folks. As John Mellencamp said, in Vietnam, which some of you probably don't even recall, we had these young men who were slaughtered, and somehow these images, courtesy of the media, actually began to surface. And with that became the spirit of get out of Vietnam, stop the slaughter. And eventually, we got out because Nixon was going to try and run and win and this and that. We have to do that right now. Show the bodies. Show what's going on. I recall around that time, I went to a wake for an old person who I knew. And I was in there, and all of a sudden I said, let me take a break. And I went into the hallway, and I saw all these young people. I said, what is there, a dance going on or a prom or something? And I looked in the room, and there was this 18-year-old in the viewing room who had gotten in Nam. And all of these young people were in there trying to figure out what in the name of God is going on, that our friend, his life was lost at 18 years old. Well, if you have anybody to talk to, starting with a congressional person or whatever, or just in your community, you better start figuring out how we're going to avoid the slaughter of people who are vulnerable. Here in New York City, we have so much one-on-one violence, and I think it all comes back to the rise in this violence from the Trump administration, basically out there preaching violence and hate in various ways.
All right. We're out of time, Jim. We're out of time.
No, I'm sorry. My contract says I can... What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
That contract, I tell you, bites me in the rear end all the time. All right, Jim, you've made some great points this morning.
Good to hear your voice. Long time.
Yep.
Good to hear your voice.
All right. Good to hear yours, care. Too. All right.
All right.
Take
Bye.
Care. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio. Of course, all opinions on our talk shows, those are the people that give them and do not represent necessarily Tri-State Public Communications, the Bargain Barn, CATV 252, or Robinhood Radio and any of the Robinhood Radio Network radio stations.